OTA's getting going. We get to see Trey Lance's brand new mechanics. How different should they be? What is actually there to work on for Trey Lance with our quarterback expert, Greg Pennelly, on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker, as always, at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And we've got a very special guest on today's show to kind of help us wade through some of the conversations that are happening out there about quarterbacks and throwing and what it all means. We got a guy, Greg Pennelly, at Greg Pennelly on Twitter. If you're in the Central Valley area, or you can travel anywhere near the Central Valley area, he's your guy. If you got a young quarterback that needs to work on throwing the football, Greg Pennelly, Pennelly Passing Academy is your guy. And Greg, thank you so much for jumping on the show with us today and maybe speaking with some knowledge about what it's like to train a quarterback, what it's like to throw a football, and what we're talking about as it pertains to some of these mechanical changes for young Trey Lance.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a while.
I have a lot of questions. So just about all these things that are going on with the quarterback position. Obviously, a lot surrounding Trey Lance, his finger. How much did that affect you? And they talked about he started to develop some bad habits. So let's can we start there?
With the finger? Look, because it's really quick. It feels like with Trey Lance, there's just something new. Every time we're like, wait, what is that? The finger was hurt for 18 months? What are we talking about now? The next year in the offseason, be like, oh, yeah, we found out in 2023 that Trey Lance is actually left-handed. So now we're going to start there instead. It's like, dude, there's something new. Like, this is the weirdest quarterback development in the history of the NFL.
It honestly is. And you know, I'm trying to think, like, when did the finger thing come into play? In all reality.
Okay, so it was training camp or preseason his rookie year. He hit the his hand on somebody's helmet at the end of the season. And he broke or fractured his finger or whatever was his pointing finger. So from there, just to kind of get through, he changed the grip on the way that he threw the
football. That's right.
And that's the part I want to get to you and know more about. But he changed it for the rest of that year. And then the whole offseason, he was trying to work to get his grip back to normal.
Right.
Because somehow it healed and they said it didn't heal correct, like his finger. I think, I don't know if it's because he kept trying to throw on it or whatever, but it didn't heal quite correctly. So then they said, okay, I got to get my finger back right. I have to change, try to relearn how to throw my original way because I developed this bad habit. And then it kind of carried over into his year two. So how significant is that having that? Like, first of all, a finger where now I have to change my grip on how I throw a football and then having to relearn how you originally threw the football.
What finger was it again?
Pointer finger.
Pointer. So, for starters, I broke my index finger on my throwing hand. I broke these three at different points playing football, and then I broke my index finger in October. I knew it was broken as soon as it happened. I had my hand on the car door. Daughter slammed the car door because she's wanting to push everything. 2 years old, boom. Right when the door slammed on it, I already knew. It felt like just like these three. So it took, I would say, probably 3.5-4 weeks before I really felt like I could throw a football again. But I would say after, you know, 6 weeks, I felt like ready. It was completely fine, no issues, and that was my index finger. Then I did my middle finger, when I was playing high school ball, and then I did these two playing college football on the back of a guard's helmet. And like I said, it was about a month total in recovery before I felt like I really could kind of get into driving the football again. So to say that it took 18 months, something must have happened at some point or another where it just wasn't healing or there was some fracture still going on. Something was going on with the bone. I don't know, but I would like to think that, changing the throwing motion for somebody at his level in my opinion, shouldn't be that hard as far as the grip goes. Because when you, let's say you're doing quick game, RPOs, quick game, gun snaps, there's a lot of times where you're not necessarily throwing with your hand directly on the laces, where you might just, you know, take a shotgun snap, grip the ball where it feels comfortable for you to throw the ball, and you're getting it out anyways. You're never going to really have that comfortable grip on the football unless, you know, it's three-step drops or, you know, routes that are over 10 yards, five-step drops under center, whatever. But I wouldn't think that it would be that hard. You know, I feel like if I could change my grip from how I threw it my whole life to how I teach it these days and how most guys throw, where the ring finger, my right ring finger is on the second lace down, and then the pinky slightly off, and then these two are on the top of the ball. In high school and growing up, and then even in college, I had my middle finger on the top lace and then this one on the third lace down, and I've switched it and I can throw both ways now. So I would like to think that an NFL quarterback would be able to throw multiple ways with his hands on the laces, and it shouldn't take more than probably a couple of weeks to a month maybe to get used to that. Gotcha. Especially how much they throw.
You know what? What else is interesting about the timeline too, with the finger injury and not really knowing the extent of it back then, was that, does that change how he was used in that Arizona game? Remember when he ran the ball like 16 times?
That's like, what I was going to say. That was like the one injury that I remember, is because, and we had talked about that right after the game, and it was like this huge debate of, well, we have Trey Lance that we drafted, but now we're not giving him the same offense that Jimmy Garoppolo is getting to run, and it's completely different, and we're never going to get to see what this guy truly looks like. And it was like watching a college offense all over again. So maybe you're right. Maybe he wasn't able to air it. I haven't really gone back and watched that tape and how he was throwing the ball. I don't know if anybody has insight on that. But that was a very weird playbook, per se, I guess, that game in comparison to others.
And it definitely did look a lot different against the Texans later on the season, where it seemed like maybe it was healed up at that point. And I don't know if it was actually still a problem going into the next offseason or not, but – you know, there was so much talk about a dead arm period. And I think we have talked about that before, about the dead arm stuff. Greg, by the way, Christian in the live chat says, hey, Croc and Peacock, excited catching you live once. It's 2 a.m. here. Sleepless. Love listening to you guys in Austria. Austria. Love that. So appreciate the worldwide audience for Locked On 49ers here.
Love
Greg, have you ever dealt with dead arm periods or quarterbacks that run into sort of a dead arm period? And if you change your throwing motion, could that be part of it? Or, you know, because we've heard conflicting reports now about Trey Lance having a dead arm for various reasons. And this quarterback coach, Christensen, who works with Patrick Mahomes, I feel like there is a little bit of like all these different quarterback coaches. And like, this is your, you know, this is your genre, Greg. Like, this is your industry with, you know, coaching up quarterbacks. I feel like some of them do really kind of want to take credit for like fixing a guy, and it's like, so did you fix his motion and that's why he had the dead arm, or did he have the dead arm because he threw so much trying to prep for the draft? Which is it's wild. Could bad mechanics really cause that much of a problem for a quarterback's arm? Because I know it can for a baseball pitcher, but you know, it was very different deliveries.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's different age groups where you're dealing with certain things arm-wise. For the younger guys, it seems like, and when I say younger, I'm talking, you know, middle schoolers to some of the high school guys, some of the elbow pain stuff, right? We're dealing with trying to change the mechanics for the better. They show up day one, day two, or, you know, the first or second, third, fourth, however many sessions until they understand it. And we're trying to change mechanics, but really, once you get to the older guys, it just all depends on pitch count. Like, I don't know what his pitch count, when I say pitch count, how many balls he was throwing every single day. Not with Christensen. I saw that they were talking about 150-ish balls or something like that.
Is that normal, or is that?
I mean, between a warm-up, you know, you got to understand, like, between a warm-up, which you've seen me do at Croc, where we're standing on a line and you got 2 feet square and you're kind of just – it's an 8-yard throw and you're going to do 5 or 6 of them, and you, you know, stagger your feet and throw without your feet underneath you, both, you know, that's 15 throws, you know, 5 on your right foot forward, 5 with your left. And then we'll turn sideways and we'll do some crossover steps and retreat steps. So you're already up to 35, 40 throws plus probably doing some weighted ball stuff or with plyo balls, and you're going to do some of those throws for 15, 20 minutes doing some just, excuse me, some ghost throws, or I call them ghost throws, where you're not actually throwing the ball, but, you know, you're holding a weighted ball in your hand and you're going through a full motion, trying to work on, you know, little meticulous things, getting your front foot down, whether it's the base, the foot strike, the arm path, or being fluid, getting the elbow through, arm angles. There's a bunch of different things. But some of the stuff that we see with the older guys, especially at the facility here, when they have arm issues, it's typically not necessarily the arm, but there's deficiencies in other part of the body. For Trey, I always felt like his front step was a bit too long. And the reason why I think it tied into the front step being too long and the lift of basically raising the ball and then trying to tie in his front foot. So he would step, stride, and then the ball would go up and back. And then I felt like that stride was a little bit too long. It was the same thing that Quincy said last year, Quincy Avery, who obviously worked with Trey during his draft prep and prior to that. And then it was the same thing with the Tom House last year with the 3D QB guys. They were trying to work on his front step. And then now he's with Christensen, and they didn't say exactly what he was working on. But I also felt like in watching Trey over and over and listening and talking amongst other quarterback coaches out there across the country, that they all kind of felt the same way as far as the foot strike. If you can get the foot strike down quicker, the hands have to be faster, right? So then you're going to be in sequence where the foot strikes, the ball should be kind of right here. By the time your front foot hits the ground, the ball should be kind of in this, we call it like a flatter L position, where it's going back, and then the right hip would fire for a righty. So the right hip fires, and as that right hip fires, that's what's going to bring the arm through and rotation, therefore transferring the weight into your front foot. And so if your stride is too long, you'll get past this position here into this position, and then the hips and the arms essentially fire at the same time, which is going to put more pressure on your arm, which in turn is probably going to turn into sore arm or shoulder pain, you know, rear delt pain. Doesn't matter where, it could be anywhere, depending, like I said, on the deficiency. So usually it ties into the mechanics and the sequencing of the mechanics on why you're having pain in different areas of the arm.
Okay, I want to get a little bit deeper on that and talk about the upper body versus the lower body with the throwing mechanics. What can we expect from Trey Lance? What can we expect from Brock Purdy and your evaluation of Brock Purdy as a rookie? Because there seems to be some Brock Purdy wars happening all of a sudden. Amongst everybody.
He's a dink and dunker.
In the 49ers land. Yeah, dink and dunk is the word of the week so far on 49ers Twitter. All right, so more with Greg Pinelli. Pinelli Passing Academy, and getting a little, I like this, getting, you know, a little information about throwing mechanics for some of these big-time quarterbacks. We'll keep it going next. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. If you're a Warriors fan and you're enjoying the demise, maybe you can even put a little money on maybe the Lakers getting swept out of the playoffs. You can put a little money on any of those playoff teams in the NBA. You can put a little money on any of the NHL playoffs, or how about Major League Baseball all summer long? And of course, NFL futures are right there ready for you. Coach of the year, player of the year, which team will win the Super Bowl? San Francisco 49ers odds to win the Super Bowl at FanDuel. So just visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. So, Greg, as it pertains to this throwing motion, so it sounds like when you see when you've watched rookie year Trey Lance, you've seen North Dakota State Trey Lance, you've seen year two Trey Lance, and then you've seen like some clips here in the offseason of Trey Lance. Can you see anything different, or do you think that everything we're talking about with throwing motion isn't so much the ball coming out of his hands necessarily, but it's that lower half?
I think that his mechanics have looked very similar over the last 4 years, 3 years, whatever it's been so far. I can't see a ton of changes. You know, it could be the timing and the wrist position at the top, or trying to create, trying to keep that elbow tied in with the point of the ball. But you know, they said they worked on the front foot strike, and I've seen, I guess that was the biggest thing, is maybe his feet did look a little bit quicker last year, or the ball started to come out a little bit quicker. But again, we didn't get to see enough of it, right? And there's only so much we're going to see from training camp, and there's only so many times where you're going to see it in a game. And in a game, it's tough. It really is, because you can prep a quarterback. We can work on things continuously in an off season and at practice and do things over and over. But once a game hits, that stuff has to become automatic, right? Like, you're not thinking anymore in the midst of your five-step drop and you're getting ready to throw a deep dig that you need to get your front foot down quicker and be wide with your – that stuff doesn't apply anymore, right? You should have repped it enough to where hopefully that becomes natural, and that is muscle memory. So a lot of the stuff – I shouldn't say it goes out the window, but it should be just become a muscle memory thing. And the guys are going to play at the end of the day. There's plenty of clips that you'll see of Patrick Mahomes with wide feet, right? There's a couple of them where he's going to miss when he has an extra wide step on his initial foot strike. There's going to be some where he's got his feet underneath him and he still might miss. Like, you're playing football at the end of the day. Nobody's going to be perfect throwing the football, but it's trying to eliminate those errors in between. And, you know, what you want at the end of the day is guys to be comfortable and guys to be natural. Regardless if it looks how it's supposed to look, and that how it's supposed to look is depending on who you're really asking, right, at the end of the day. But if a guy's comfortable throwing a football, my job as a quarterback coach is not to completely change somebody's mechanics to something that isn't comfortable and make them a robot. It's to take what they do well and try and revise little things or build upon what they already have. And I think that's really what they're trying to do. You're not going to see huge dramatic changes. Like Trey Lance isn't going to have a snappy quick release like Jimmy G, because they're two different types of throwers. It's just not going to happen. It's the same with Josh. You might have quick hands, but it's not going to be as compact. Tom Brady's is very compact, right? Drew Brees's was pretty compact. Peyton Manning's was very compact. But Trey Lance is a little bit different. Like, that, his mechanics, Pat Mahomes is longer. You know, it's not saying they don't have quick hands, but their take back is a little bit longer or exaggerated. And I think a lot of that comes from the dual sport stuff, the baseball backgrounds. And it's good, because they end up having a ton of whip when they throw the football, and that's how they create a lot of velocity. You know, I wouldn't expect a ton of things to change with Trey's mechanics, regardless of who he's working with. He's at the point now where, what is he, 23, 24? I don't even know how old.
He just turned 23 like a couple weeks ago.
23 years old. You know, if this was 13 years old, I would say, hey, let's watch the before and after clips, and you're going to really be able to see. He's 23 years old. There's going to be little fine-tuning and minuscule things that are going to – you know, be worked on every offseason. But to think that he's just going to turn into a completely different thrower, I think we'd be crazy to think that.
Last question on Trey Lance. Let's say you're trying to work on different things. You talked about muscle memory. How long does that process take, right? Because I remember Aaron Rodgers in college, and, you know, he used to hold the ball by dang near by his face.
Yeah, it was right here. It was like up on what they call the shelf, right? And so it's up here. And that's something that Coach Tedford has taught a lot. And I deal with, obviously, working with the Fresno State quarterbacks. And he still wants some of them to be more here. And there's a lot of college coaches that actually want that, believe it or not. And it sounds crazy, because their philosophy is that it's quicker, right? I had to do it in college. There's a video clip. So my old head coach from Eastern Washington is the offensive coordinator at Arizona State now. And he had sent a clip of me throwing, like pre-practice or whatever it was, when they were trying to break down mechanics back in the day. And I'm holding the ball up here on the shelf. Well, I had a longer release, so it looked longer, but they were trying to shorten it. And the quick fix is just put the ball up here. You're going to shorten it. And so he had texted me and Danny, my boy that trains QBs down in SoCal, and had said, I don't know who the hell was teaching you guys this stuff back in the day. And it was him and our quarterback coach, but it doesn't look natural. And they finally realized that that's not a natural throwing motion. And just because it's quicker doesn't mean that you're going to create as much power, right? That's why Aaron Rodgers obviously no longer holds the ball right here. That's not necessarily the most efficient way. And there's a ton of young kids that will end up showing up and they hold the ball here, or their first move is pushing the ball up. And I understand why they would push the ball up. Youngsters will push the ball up because their hand is not big enough to hold the ball when they do this. So they'll push it up and kind of lift it and then almost shove it, or like throwing a dart instead of actually being able to create some whip. So, you know, Trey's is longer and some people might say it's too long, but as long as you have hand speed that makes up for it, I think you're going to be all right.
Thank you once again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you are subscribed up on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcasts. And check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show daily as well right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, talking about the entire league and tons of other great content at Locked On. How big of a difference do you think the elongated release makes for especially like quick game stuff and just getting the ball out on time? Is that like, you know, it's not even half a step worth, but there's enough worth that a defender has that extra millisecond to just maybe break on a ball and see the ball coming. I think of, you know, Trey Lance was a big one, but I think of Justin Fields too, coming out and, you know, he's had that baseball delivery and he was a baseball
player. Trevor Lawrence too.
And Trevor Lawrence. And it takes a little while. And, you know, the longer you are, the taller you are, the more, you know, just arm length you have to flop around and throw the football. And it can help for throwing the heck out of the ball, but can also make it a little bit longer. And so that is that something that you worry about if you see it? It's like, well, it's just too long, so you can never be great because it's too long and it takes too long.
I think that's the thinking of some of the quarterback coaches around the country, or that has been the thought process. So we, like I said, half of them have adapted. And I see it a lot in the recruiting process. And then my guys will get recruited for the way that they throw and how well they do. And they watch them throw live, or they throw at camps and they get scholarship offers. And then they end up going to colleges. And as soon as they get to college, the quarterback coach tries to change where the ball carriage is because they want them to hold the ball here. Well, my rebuttal to this is like, you offered a kid a full scholarship and you did it because you like the way he throws. But now you're trying to change it for something that you want to see. So what is that doesn't mean that to me, it doesn't make sense.
Why'd you draft the guy that can't throw the ball the way you want it?
Exactly. So why did you take him anyways? If you don't like the way he throws currently, so you want to change it. Now, going into your question, there's different mechanics, I would say, and most guys will see that. Or know how to do it. There's different mechanics depending on different situations. Like an RPO game is going to be a lot quicker. You're not going to necessarily have a good grip on the football with the laces. Now, most of these guys have big enough hands where they can figure out a way to obviously throw it anyways. And once you get to high school, you'll kind of figure out throwing without the laces. But it turns into almost wet ball mechanics. I would call it wet ball mechanics, and quick game mechanics would be very similar. It doesn't need to be as long. You can catch, do your fake, and almost kind of lift it, and you're throwing with your arm because it's a 10-yard throw max, right? Or a 15-yard throw. You should be able to throw without your feet underneath you, or with just your upper half, or even if you flipped your upper half or your feet too, you can get the ball to about right here. And it doesn't have to be this elongated motion. And I think that was one of the things at the Texans game, right? I was watching Trey, and he missed like a flat route to Juszczyk or something like that. And it was longer, and he was a little bit longer on his slants. So that would be something I think I would try and work on with Trey, would be the quick game stuff. How fast can you get the ball? And obviously that's why Jimmy accelerated in the quick game, and it was so successful. Although there were some ballsy throws, plenty of them, but his release was so snappy and so quick. He had some of the quickest hands in the league, and it's tough to defend when you're playing. I mean, Crocker can tell you, you know, when somebody gives you a stab step to the outside or, you know, arc release, and then they're back inside and the ball's on them, on their face right now, as a DB, that's so hard to defend because, you know, in most cases, or like even in the college game, usually there's a step or two more that he can take to get right back to his hip and maybe get his hand in front, or some recovery that Crocker might be able to make as a DB. But Jimmy did such a good job of being able to get the ball out quick. It almost seemed too quick sometimes. And I think if that would be something I would work on Trey with, is just the quick game mechanics, being able to shorten it and make sure it's a little bit more compact. It doesn't have to be as long. It doesn't need to be as hot of a throw as it would be, you know, throwing a dig or out routes or something downfield a little bit more.
Yeah, when it comes to Croc too and recovering, you got to have recovery speed to be able to recover. So
you got to have good technique. You got to have good technique if you're going to lack the speed. Croc was always pretty solid on the technique, and I think that's probably why he's a good teacher of DBs. You know,
somebody in the chat said Crocker. It's fine again. Yeah, Crocker is a Stockton goat, and I wish you guys would have heard the conversation off the air, getting Greg and Croc on, former teammates at Modesto Junior College. Chatting it up about their time there. It was a lot of fun. So Croc went away for a second. He's back, though, changing his Wi-Fi. And I still see the Lakers jersey in the background, which I don't like. So that's better for those of you who are only listening and not watching us on YouTube. Love having Greg Pinelli Passing Academy on the show. You heard him talk about Josh earlier. That's Josh Allen. How much credit do you take for Josh Allen's career, Greg? Because I hear some of these quarterback coaches and this. Let's see if I can find it in the chat. Emiliano says, Christensen sounded like he was selling his services in that interview. And I hear some other quarterbacks coaches. And then, look, you've got to sell yourself when you're a quarterbacks coach. But I don't know how much credit you can take. I don't know what takes, you know, 4 days to figure out looking at a player's mechanics. I don't even know what goes into some of these quarterbacks and their coaching. I will say, though, I did see your work with Croc at his quarterback pro day last year. So I got no problem sending my kid to Greg Pinelli and the Pinelli Passing Academy.
I would definitely take credit for Crocker's, because when Crocker showed up, it was such a mess anyways that there was plenty that needed to be worked on. It was only up. Exactly. There was no going down, you know, taking credit for guys like, yeah, Josh, you know, there's Jay Kane, there's Bray. Like, I fixed, you know, some things with Bray back when he was playing, and it was keeping his foot a little bit more connected through the release. You know, but, you know, Josh working on shoulder height a little bit more, balance and, you know, really getting himself set up a little bit better at the top. But to say taking credit, I'm not the one that's out there throwing the damn football on Sundays or Saturdays when they were in college, Friday nights when Josh was in high school. You know, it's like I said, it's those guys have to, I can give them the keys to the Ferrari, but they got to go drive it anyways. Right. So it's the taking the credit stuff, like those can be your boys. Right. And you could show them everything, but at the end of the day, they have to be the ones that go utilize the teachings. And they're obviously in the NFL because they're elite at what they do. And, you know, it's not completely revamping the things that those guys do. It's, as I said earlier, it's taking bits and pieces of what they do well and some things that they might not, and try and add little things in there that might help them, little cues, little training mechanisms that might make them just 1% better, right? And if we can help them do that, then great. If not, they're still going to go play anyways, and they're going to go be natural athletes. So, you know, to take credit for those guys, I think you would be a little bit crazy.
Appreciate all of your insight. Can you tell the folks out there that might have a prospective quarterback where to find you and get coached up?
Yeah, they can find me. Instagram is probably, I'm probably the most active on Instagram. I get on Twitter, obviously, during the season and some stuff during the off season, but Instagram is just Greg, or at Greg Pinelli. And then the Twitter is at Greg_Pinelli. So you can shoot me a message on either of those. If You know anybody that wants to come out? Obviously, we're in the Central Valley, and then I'm going to start doing some stuff in the Bay Area here pretty soon. But from Fresno to Modesto and then everything in between, and then I got guys that come from all over. So, and one guy coming from Arkansas, Strand, is coming out from Arkansas in 2 weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, we got guys coming from all over.
Fantastic stuff. All right. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every single day. Make sure you are subscribed up on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcast. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
Subscribe to this video.